Thank you for joining us today for a message from the Word of God. What follows is a recording from one of our live services at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person. And if you like what you hear today, you can visit us online at teachingtruth.org, where we have videos, weekly articles on biblical topics, information about our services, and more.
One of the, I guess, most popular genres of literature is the mystery. We think about how many authors have made a fortune off of that. We think about Arthur Conan Doyle, Sherlock Holmes, how many books were written, stories were written along that line. We think about Agatha Christie and the number of stories she wrote and countless others. And likely amongst our audience today, there would be readers who have your favorite. One of the things that is so enjoyable about a mystery is you begin putting the clues together, and then at some point in the storyline, the big one's given. And you've been piecing it all together, but when that final piece comes in, you're then able to see how the whole storyline falls. To some extent, that's what the Bible is like. And the apostle is going to use the word mystery to describe that piece of the puzzle, so to speak, that makes everything before and after make sense. We've been working through the book of Ephesians. We're coming to chapter 3 today, in which the apostle is going to talk about that mystery. And I think what I'm going to do, since I'm getting a little bit of a later start than normal, I think I'm just going to take today's lesson and divide it, Lord willing, with next week so we don't rush this last part of it. And so let's focus this morning on the one who's telling us about the mystery. And then, Lord willing, next week we'll pick it up with the mystery being revealed. So as we think about all of this, putting it together, one thing that we need to really understand is that if we are going to trust this message, then it is essential that we trust the messenger. We live in an era of stories that come out whose origins cannot really be authenticated. And so you turn on social media, whatever you might see, and there's a story there, but then you start trying to figure out where it came from, and maybe you trace it back, and it's got some very dubious surroundings. And you think, I can't believe this. So as the apostle is getting ready to deliver this message, he says, first of all, let me tell you about the messenger. Let me tell you about who I am. And so here in Genesis, or back in Bible class now, here in Ephesians chapter 3, we've got three terms that the apostle uses for himself to illustrate his role as messenger. He starts out by saying, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Here in verse 1, that's what he calls himself. He then continues on and he says, I'm a steward of God's grace, that continuing on in verse 2. And then when we come down to verse 7, he says, I'm a minister of the gospel. So what do all three of those have in common? What they have in common is these are not things that you would put up to say, look at how great I am. There are very few people who would take a lot of stock in saying, I'm a prisoner. Or someone saying, I'm a servant of someone else. Or someone saying, I minister on behalf of another. And so the apostle is saying, as you think about my role in bringing this message to you, one thing you can understand fully is it's not for me. It's not that I'm seeking to get the glory from all of this. Then he continues on, and he says, the glory is not for me. The glory is the one from whom this mystery comes, the one for whom I'm revealing it. Again, let's look at the words that he uses here in chapter 3 to make that point, to see that the messenger is giving the glory to God. If you look in verse 2, here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, he says, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. And let's skip on down then to verse 7. He says, of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of His power to me, though I am the very least of all the saints. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Note within that, three different times, he's saying the reason this message is so important is because it has been revealed by God's grace. It is not about me. It's about Him. And so with that, the apostle has established his credentials. And he goes then to say, because of that, you can understand that the message itself is going to be trustworthy because it springs from trustworthy sources. So what does he say about those sources? He says in the text here, as well as we're going to see what Peter says also, is that these messengers, they came from God. They were approved by His service. We look here in verses 4 and 5. And he says, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The apostle says the messengers are trusted because God has chosen them. The message comes through apostles, it comes through prophets, but then we note that last part of verse 5 where he says this message is by the Spirit of God. Now, as we mentioned, the Apostle Peter is going to elaborate just a little bit further on that. If we look in 1 Peter, he's going to talk about how this message came about. If you look with me, beginning in verse 10 of chapter 1, he says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. Now note in particular verse 12. He says, it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Again, the message is almost identical to Paul's. He's saying the message of this mystery has come by God's servants. But I want you to note what Peter adds to that. He says, in years past, there have been these prophets who were recording things, and they really wondered what it was all about. They wondered what the final story was, what the last piece of the puzzle is all about. And he says, God told them, this is not your concern. You are my servant. You are performing this message, writing this message, so that it can be revealed in latter times. So as we think about the trustworthy source, from what the apostle says, from what Peter says, here's what we come to understand. He says this is given by a Spirit-inspired apostle or a Spirit-inspired prophet. The message comes from God to them. And thus, when you read the words of the apostles or the prophets, it's a God-approved message that's delivered by God-approved messengers. That's very important to understand. Because what that eliminates are the untrustworthy sources. Now the apostle doesn't elaborate a lot on this, but yet the language that he uses is very indicative that we have to be careful. People of the first century had to be careful who they listened to. We must be careful as well. Because he says, while there are trustworthy sources, there are also those sources that you cannot trust. And one of those is a message that is personally tailored to an audience. That was a problem then, and it most definitely is a problem in the 21st century. And what I mean by that is this, that you hear terms such as, well, God spoke to me. God came to me in the night and He told me this message. Or a phrase that has become very popular over the past maybe 30, 40 years, God laid it on my heart that I needed to share this message with you. Or one that really is kind of the phrase of our times, I just feel like God would. And then that message continues. The apostle is not setting himself up as God's secretary. He is not saying God can speak to these people and he can't speak to those people. And neither would I say that. But what the apostle is saying is that when it comes to this mystery, when it comes to matters of salvation, these things do not hold water. That if someone says to you, there is a different gospel than the one you're reading about from the approved apostles, from the approved prophets, don't you believe it. And so then, we consider what a different message is all about. To understand this, I want us to think again from a writing of the Apostle Paul. We're going to go outside of Ephesians for this one. But we think about what he says back in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, looking down to verse 6. He says this, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one. But there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now I want you to listen to this next line. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. And just in case we didn't get it, verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. You start looking at language about cursing in the Bible and you say that's a big deal. But isn't it interesting, the apostle says, if you hear one of us, even an apostle, even a prophet, who's bringing to you a different message than this, don't listen. And he also adds to that the rather intriguing, even if an angel from heaven preaches something different. I suspect that if you and I were in a conversation with an angel, that would be a pretty intimidating thing. And if that angel came along and he said, now, God has decided on a different gospel. This is the one you really need to believe. There would be a strong temptation to believe that angel. What does the apostle say? He says, even if an angel tries to teach you something different, you lay that on the backdrop of the heavenly beings who have rebelled against God, and the apostle is saying, if they're trying to give you a different message, don't you believe it? And we think of two very popular religions that are based on that idea, that an angel presented something additional or something different. The apostle says, no. Let's go back to 1 Peter for just a minute. We didn't finish 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. I've changed over to the New King James Version for this, where Peter says, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but that they were ministering to you, which now has been reported to you through these things that have been preached. And he goes on to talk about how the Holy Spirit was sent from heaven to these messengers. And then he says, things which angels desire to look into. And I went back to this translation because that word desire can go one of two ways. And that may be Peter's message here. He says there might be a very healthy interest amongst those heavenly beings of seeing the gospel plan completed. But if we take that in the vein of Galatians chapter 1, he may be saying there may be a desire for someone to get you off course. Either way, the apostle says, if you're hearing a different message, don't believe it. And so with that, what we then find is that believing a different message joins us with those who are opposed to God. that if I am not satisfied with the mystery that has been revealed, then what we're going to find is that we are standing on the wrong side of God. And so my encouragement for all of us, regardless of where you stand spiritually right now, that you think about the importance of this word where the apostle is saying it's come through trustworthy messengers who received it from a trustworthy source who was God Himself, and this message stands. And as long as this world continues to spin, this message, salvation in Jesus Christ, will be the message to be preached. And so wherever you are this morning, I want you to think about it. If you are strong in the faith, that is fantastic. Stay on course. If you're searching for what the truth is all about, this is where it's found. And this morning, if you're ready to give your life to God, that salvation is found in Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. That salvation is found in the message of the approved apostle on the day of Pentecost when he was asked the question, "What shall we do to be saved?" By the inspired word through the Spirit, he said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And that approved message from an approved messenger all of those years ago is the same message for us today. And so I encourage you, if you're ready to give your life to God, to be faithful to Him, to this promise, that you'll make that happen today. That you'll be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Or if you're struggling with a temptation or a sin in your life and you'd like for us to pray with you about it, then we'll do that also. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, you can come while we stand and sing together.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you have questions about anything you heard today or anything Bible related, you can use the contact form on our website at teachingtruth.org to submit a question and someone will be in touch. There's also lots of other great Bible content on our site as well. The web address again is teachingtruth.org. Once again, thanks for listening, and we hope to see you in person soon.